your face, your face is going to stick that way. I brought you into this world, or I can take you out, and I can take you out. I think you guys could probably finish this one. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? We all know the feeling. We can all relate to that video because we've all had moms in this place. Moms are the queens of constant reminders. Speak clearly, say thank you, slow down, be calm and quiet when you're in the house. When you're young, it can be incredibly frustrating. Like, I know, Mom! Ah! But later on, when you're on your own, you start to realize something powerful, that the things that irritated you were actually the things that were shaping you. The things that irritated you were the things that were making you into the person that you are today. And what we know about moms is that moms correct us because they care for us. Moms correct us because they care for us. Now, it's hard to appreciate correction in the moment, isn't it? It's so hard to appreciate it when things are getting tense. But when you're able to step back, when you're able to look at the things of life, and when you're able to examine things from a distance, you start to see the good that that correction produces in you. And this is called maturity. This is what maturity is when you start to recognize that some of those corrections come from a place of care. It's especially hard to recognize it sometimes because sometimes correction can be done poorly. Sometimes it's done well, but sometimes it can be done poorly. And some of you guys had mothers that weren't the best at doing it. They wanted you to be better, and they wanted you to come in line. And so sometimes they didn't operate out of a place of love completely, but they operated out of a place of frustration. There was harsh words, demeaning words. There was public embarrassment, especially in front of the coolest kids in school, and all of a sudden your mom is correcting you. There was constant criticism in your house. There was lectures. There was yelling. There was a focus on the bad all of the time. And so we know from our own experience, and we know from what people around us, that sometimes even the good intentions can be done in a bad way. And so really our question today is going to be, how do we help people grow without becoming judgmental? Or to ask it another way, when do I know and how do I know if it's my job to correct someone? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, so if you've got your Bibles, turn over there. And I promise I did not intend for this to be a Mother's Day message. It's just the way that it fell, but that video was so perfect to start things off because it really captures this essence of care and correction done out of a caring heart can produce incredible results. But correction done negatively, done aggressively or demeaningly, can produce the opposite results in somebody. If you're a good friend, a good parent, a good coworker, or a good human being, this is something that we all wrestle with. I know some people, they avoid correcting, they avoid saying something because they just don't want the conflict of the moment. I just don't want to deal with it, so I'm just going to let it slide. Other people correct too much, not out of a desire to make the person better, but because I want to be right. And I deserve this, and I need this, and so I'm going to yell, I'm going to demand, I'm going to assert in order to make sure I get my way. Now, parents, you know this, because as much as your intentions are good, sometimes they're just little monsters, right? And you just got to get them in line. Teachers, coaches, friends, we all have this desire to see the people that we've been entrusted with grow in grace and in strength. And we know that people, including ourselves, we need guidance from time to time. To this day, still end up calling my parents for things. Hey, Dad, can you help me diagnose this thing? Or Mom, can you help me out with this? You know, to this day, you still need guidance from a person that you can trust. And so we know from the scriptures that love that refuses to correct isn't really love at all. If you don't step in and say the hard thing sometimes, then that's not loving. But correction without love crushes people. So there's this both, this both and thing about it. We need grace and we need truth. And this is where it gets messy then, is because if I say something, I start to think to myself, I don't want to say anything because I might sound judgmental. But also, if I stay silent, am I enabling them or am I giving implied approval to it? And so I have to wrestle with these things. And so our big question for today then is, how do I confront something without condemning someone? Let me say that again. How do I confront something without condemning someone? Because we don't want to swing to the extremes of attacking too harshly or avoiding saying anything. And so we're going to look to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 to see how we can walk this line and how do we know when to speak up and when to stay silent. So we're back into a series that we've been doing since January on the Sermon on the Mount. We took a couple weeks off for Easter, but otherwise we've been working through this. If you go to gcmoseslake.org/sermons, you can find all of the previous messages on there. We've been walking through it because it is a brilliantly designed piece of teaching, and we've looked at the different sections of it. We're getting close to the end now. Last week, we looked at how God taught us to approach the things in our life so that they won't own us. He said, don't store up treasure on the earth. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. We saw that worry is a warning sign that the things that we possess are starting to possess us. And this week, Jesus starts with another do not. So last week, it was do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. This week, Jesus starts with another do not and immediately tells us all to take a step back when we're feeling self-righteous. He starts with this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. Do not judge or you too will be judged. In the King James, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And it's important, I'm gonna just pause right here before we even continue on, because there's this a lot of people like to take this one verse and they like to wave it around and they like to say, hey, what about this? The Bible says that you're not allowed to judge me. Look at this right here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. If I only read these first three words, then it says exactly what I need it to say. And that's what I'm going to go with right there. And I'm not going to read any more of it. I'm just going to stick with these three words right here. Do not judge. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Right? And that's all we need to know. No, of course not. Context is king. When you're reading the scriptures, you need to get an idea of the bigger thing that God is trying to say. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How many times have you heard somebody say, only God can judge me? Only God can judge me. Ultimately, this is true kind of in the last days, at the end of time itself. God will be the judge that is ultimately deciding their fate. But none of us grow, none of us get better if we don't occasionally bump up against somebody that wants to give us a hard truth. So what he says here is, he says, don't judge. But then he says, the same way that you judge others is the way that you are going to be judged. Now, he's saying it's okay to do it. Just understand it's going to come back on you as well. And not only is it okay to do it, it's necessary to do it, as we're going to see as we continue through this teaching. You see, for believers, Jesus tells us, and actually we're not going to get to it today, but if you went down to if you went down to verse 15, Jesus says that we can judge others by their fruit. It says the tree either bears good fruit or bad fruit, and you know what kind of tree it is based on the fruit that it is bearing. And so we see in context again that Jesus isn't saying don't ever do this. But he's giving us some guardrails. And he used the first statement to make an emphatic point that if you do it, you better be careful. In the same way as the key phrase here, it means, you know, obviously it means that if you are quick to say something to other people, if you're quick to judge somebody else, that it's going to come back on you as well. And so if you play the judge, going to judge you too. Now, I think it would be important right here to kind of define this term because there is healthy things, right? If you see somebody running out into the road, you have to yell, you have to scream, you have to throw your body in front of them in order to keep them from getting hurt, right? There is healthy ways to do things, and sometimes extreme situations demand extreme responses. But on the other hand, there are times to be tactful. There are times to be there are times even when you don't say anything and you just allow people to go. Now there are also times when the context of the situation, if you are working with somebody that is a believer, you're going to hold them to a certain standard. If you're working with somebody who's an unbeliever, basically all Jesus says is grace and love, and just continue to invest in that relationship. So really, what we're talking about here is more for people of the kingdom. This is what we've been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount series, that Jesus is teaching us how to be people of his kingdom, not people of this earth. And people of the kingdom need to relate to other people of the kingdom in a certain way. So this is an important distinction to make, that we don't need to worry about when somebody comes into the church and they don't look the way we want them to, they're not dressed the way we want them to, they don't smell the way we want them to, or things like that. If they are far from God, our job is to hug them, it's to love them, it's to give them the best seat in the house, it's to make sure that they are taken care of. This is what God has called us to do. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to comment on those types of things. Instead, we can just embrace them in love. So it's this is an important distinction. I just wanted to draw that out. Now Jesus is going to give us an illustration now in verse 3 that really ties all of this together. And I'm gonna need Judah to come up here as an illustrated sermon here. So, all right. He didn't know I was going to do this. I should have called Mackenzie up, but it's too late. Judah's already up here. All right. So, Judah, why don't you go ahead and stand right over here. Jesus says that when you're looking at your brother and you're like, man, I appreciate you. You're a great kid. You know that? And you're encouraging him and you're leaning in close and then you're like, wait a second. What is going on? It looks like you got something right there. Hold on. And Jesus says, if you see, you're looking at a brother and you see a speck of sawdust in your eye, he says, make sure that you don't got something sticking out of your own head, right? And now I'm coming to try and do surgery on Judah. And I'm like, hey, no, why are you backing away? Just let me try and pull this thing out of your eye. Right? It wouldn't work, would it? Thank you, Judah. Can you guys give him a hand? I think I owe you a Kit Kat now. So what he says here is he says, verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? I love this illustration. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when every time you turn around, you're whacking him with the plank that's in your own eye? Now, the word plank there is like a foundation. It's like a support beam for a house. So we're not talking about a tiny little piece of wood. We're talking about something that is gigantic. And he's obviously doing this for effect. He's trying to draw a distinction between the two ideas. And so my question, pop quiz time, what is the moral of this story? Is the moral of the story A, mind your own business? Is the moral of the story B, check yourself before you wreck yourself? Is the moral of the story C, correct your brother or sister in love? Or is the moral of the story D, you need a hospital because you got a piece of wood sticking out of your face? Now, we don't have them all up on one slide. So mind your business, check yourself, correct your brother or sister in love, or you need a hospital. Now, if you were just to read the two verses that we've read so far, you would probably assume that what Jesus is saying is either mind your own business or check your own heart, right? That those are the two dominant thoughts there. But in fact, as we read, we're going to see that Jesus is saying that actually he's asking us to correct our brother and sister. He's just asking us to take a pause first. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. You hypocrite, he says. And if you are looking at somebody with a little piece of dirt and you've got a giant beam in your eye, a hypocrite is the exact right word that you would use to describe that person. If you're judging somebody else for the very same thing that you're doing, and actually your thing is bigger than their thing, but you're still casting judgment upon them, hypocrite is the only word that fits in that scenario. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So what we see here is that it's not about minding our business. It's not about just examining our own heart, but Jesus calls us to do both. He says, examine yourself, make sure that you're right, and then go and help your brother that's in need. The issue isn't that the speck in my brother's eye isn't real. They've got something that's going on in their heart, something that's going on in their life. They've got a challenge that they are trying to overcome. Not only do they have a challenge that they're trying to overcome, but we can see it from a distance, because we can't get too close to them. But we can see the speck that's in their eye. We see how they're constantly rubbing their eye, how it's getting all irritated and bloodshot, how they're in pain. We can tell that, you know, when you know somebody has a piece of dirt in their eye, it becomes obvious to everybody around. They're walking around asking for eye drops. They're like, man, I just can't, you know, and they're constantly rubbing it. And as you know, if you've got a little piece of wood in your eye, you could do some serious damage if you keep rubbing it. So what Jesus is saying here is that the speck is real. It's a problem that your brother or sister has. He says it's not an issue of ignoring that because it needs to be dealt with. The issue is my self-awareness. The issue is what's going on inside of me. If your mom saw you doing this, she'd probably say something like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, right? If she saw the way that you were trying to treat this other person. She might also say, well, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Because if you spent half as much time fixing your own stuff and worrying about yourself as you did about worrying about somebody else, you would be a saint right now. And so if you would just spend more time examining yourself, think about how much better you would be. And Jesus wholeheartedly agrees with your mom. Jesus is saying, before you try to correct somebody else, let God correct you first. Because grace, it starts with a mirror, not with a microscope. Grace starts by looking at yourself, examining your own heart, and then allowing God to speak to you. But once he does, then Jesus tells us that we should step in. Honestly, one of the best examples that I can think of this, kind of a silly example from my own life, is anytime I'm sitting in church or I'm at a movie theater or, you know, some place where you're kind of expected to be quiet and then you hear somebody's cell phone go off. What's the first thing that you think about? Hey, man, I can't believe they didn't turn their cell phone off. As you're like scrambling to pull your phone out of your pocket to make sure that yours is silenced as well. And there's this kind of dual thing there of man, I'm glad that wasn't me. And also I want to make sure that can't possibly be me, so I'm going to correct it. And what happens is actually as we continue to interact with other people, for some reason, it's really easy for us to see the faults of other people. And it's really hard to see them in ourselves. Honestly, this is one of the best reasons. Everybody that's watching online, I love you guys. I know that there's reasons that you can't be here today, but get yourself in church. And here's the reason why. Because when you are around other people, and when you're starting to see and you're starting to notice things, man, that person's got a smudge on their face, that person, their hair is undone. What Jesus says is that those should be signs for us, should be a warning sign for us to take a look in the mirror as well. And until we've done that, we shouldn't go up and talk to them. You see somebody that is treating somebody wrong or badly, you see somebody that is making poor decisions in their life, he says you should absolutely intervene. Just make sure you've checked yourself first. Because correction sounds and feels different when it's coming from a place of humility instead of a place of superiority. Because you can imagine that if I was up here with Judah and I'm saying to him, you know, hey, I see this, you know, you've got this speck in your eye. Here's how I fixed it. Here's how I did it in my life. Here's the surgery that I had to go through. Here's the pain that it took me. Here's the way that I walked through it. Now let me walk alongside of you. And let me help you out. And let's get this out together. And suddenly that correction comes from a place of love, support, and restoration instead of a place of judgment and pushing somebody away. And this is what God wants for us. In fact, even the book of Hebrews says that God disciplines those that he loves. So discipline comes from a place of love, but the goal isn't to shame people. The goal is restoration. The goal is bringing people back together. The truth is, we say it often around here, that God loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. God loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you in that spot. Now Jesus, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, is an incredibly sculpted document that teaches us about kingdom living. He says, if you want to know how to get to the blessed life, these are the steps. And he says, if you're going to be a person of the kingdom, this is how kingdom people behave. Because kingdom people are willing to share the truth, but they do it in love. They do it in love. This is exactly what Solomon talked about in the book of Proverbs. He says, Proverbs 26:5, answer a fool according to his folly. Right? Proverbs 26:5. Okay, they should have been out of order, but that's okay. Answer a fool, Proverbs 24, go ahead and go back to the Proverbs one. Proverbs 26:4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Do you have verse 5 in there as well? Okay. Proverbs 26:4. I'll try and explain this. So Proverbs 26:4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Verse 5 says, do answer a fool according to his folly. So verse 4, do not answer a fool. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. And he says, because verse 4, if you confront a fool, you yourself will become just like him. Nobody wants that. So if you're gonna correct somebody that's living a poor lifestyle, that's making bad decisions, you run the risk of stepping into the same thing that they're in. But then verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. In other words, how is he going to learn unless you say something? And so you've got to say something, or you risk them not knowing the difference between right and wrong. And if you do say something, you run the risk of being exposed as a person that doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. So there's this dual-edged side of it. And Jesus in verse 6, Matthew 7, 6, is going to share with us a similarly confusing bit of wisdom. He says, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What is he saying here? Verse 5, correct a fool according to his folly. Verse 6, do not correct a fool according to his folly. That's about as plain as mud. Thanks, Jesus. I'll take it from here. I think I can figure this one out on my own. If you think about verse 6, what he's saying is that for if you're throwing your pearls to pigs, what he means here is that this actually doesn't benefit the giver or the receiver. Because what is a pig gonna do with a necklace? And for me, I've taken my wisdom and I've given it to somebody that's not gonna do anything with it. In fact, both the person and the pig end up frustrated. They end up demoralized. They end up angry. And the Bible says that Jesus says that they may turn and trample you under feet, or turn and tear you to pieces. And what happens is you, as the one who's trying to help, end up hurt in the process. So Jesus says, be careful. So let me try and clear this up a little bit. My friend, again, has something in his eye, right? And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, hey, truthfully, I've never performed eye surgery before, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, so I think I can figure this out. That's a commercial. Anyway, so what happens is, I've never done this before, but I'm gonna wade into it anyway, because you know that looks really painful. Honestly, not quite as painful as what I got sticking out of my face, but I'm gonna do it. And I try, and he ends up hurt, and I end up disillusioned. And there's just this big mess that comes from me trying to do things in the wrong way and in the wrong timing. And so there's one of two things that happen. Either he's hurt and I don't care because I said what needed to be said, or he's hurt and I'm hurt because I've lost a friend in the process, or I guess the third option would be I don't try, and then there's a disaster that comes upon my friend that I saw coming from a mile away. I was like, dude, you should not be hanging out with her, because you're as you're doing this, you're walking away from your wife in the process. Man, you I love you, but you know, you're drinking an awful lot and you need to tone it down. And I was able to see the cliff coming, and I saw how they were living their life, and instead of wading in and instead of trying, I didn't say anything. And I just watched him go over the cliff. And that was it. This isn't how kingdom people live. This is what Jesus is telling us today. This isn't how kingdom people live. Maybe to make this more practical, if you are sitting at a stoplight, you see somebody hand $20 to the homeless person on the corner, what's the first thing that runs through your mind? Is it, man, shouldn't have done that. All you're doing is enabling that person. All you're doing, man, what a, you know, you're so easily manipulated. You're so easily swayed by such a sign. Or you see somebody that doesn't give, you're like, man, you're ruthless. You have no compassion at all. Do you even love Jesus? And so there's this both and sides of things, right? Or you're at a play date, or you're at a lunch with some friends, and you notice that the mom is spending all her time on her phone, or the kids, all they seem to be addicted to technology, and you're like, okay, I maybe should say something, but also I just checked my messages 3 times. I don't know how I should respond in this situation. And this is where Jesus is telling us, and he's showing us here how things get messy. Or you've been losing weight because you've been counting calories, you've been exercising, you've been trying hard, or maybe you even got on a new prescription that's really helping you with your weight loss journey, and then you start to look around and your friend is looking a little plump, and you're like, okay, do I say something? Do I not say something? What do I do in this situation, right? Or you hear from a friend who's calling you because they heard about a prayer request. And they're like, I just want you to pray about this thing. And then you start to examine the past several phone calls, and they're always calling you for prayer requests, but it doesn't seem like you guys ever do any praying. And when do you stop it? When do you say something? How do you respond in those situations? There was a, when do you speak up, and when do you keep your mouth shut? And what do you do with the piece of wood that's in your own eye? What do you do with this thing when it's sticking out of your face and you're like, man, I know, I see it. I see it coming in their life. But also, I know that I don't measure up. And I know that I get this wrong. How do I help somebody in that situation? This is exactly why we need wisdom. And in fact, this is kind of part one of a two-part sermon, because we're not going to have time to get into it today. But next week, Jesus is going to talk about asking, seeking, and knocking. And he's going to talk about how, as believers, we need to approach God with persistence every time we come up against a situation where we don't know what to do. And this includes, do I throw my pearls into the pig pen? Do I wade into this situation? Do I try to do surgery with my friend when I've never done this before and I don't know how to do it? And Jesus is going to tell us that in those moments, you need to seek wisdom. You need to ask for wisdom. You need to continue to persevere. And then he's going to share with us, and we're going to skip down to verse 12 now, because this ties both sermons together. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, because this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, if you wanted to try and tie the Old Testament together in just one sentence, he says, this is a pretty good one. Do to others what you would have them do to you. We call this the golden rule, all right? We say that this is the most important teaching that Jesus makes, because it governs how we treat everybody else. And in those situations, and if I flipped it and I said, okay, I say, you see something in my life. You see the way that I treat my kids. You see how I spend too much time on my cell phone. You see the time when I got angry and left or whatever it is. And you know that God is speaking to you. And you're like, I need to say something. If I'm coming from a place of humility and I'm in you know, kind of my best self space, I want to know when I'm making a mistake. And so for you to see something, to see me headed towards a cliff, and not to say something is actually dishonoring to me. That doesn't mean I'm going to handle it well. Because sometimes I've had people try, and I've had people say things, and instead of responding in grace and instead of responding in love, I get defensive, and I get hurt. And the person that is trying to correct me, that's trying to give me these pearls of wisdom, I don't really act like a human being during that time. And instead, I get defensive, I get quick to react, I get angry, I storm off. And hopefully, when I have a little bit of space and I've got a clear head, I think back. Not to say, man, I should have said this, and you know, how dare they, because they're doing this, and I know that they're not living the lifestyle that they're trying to get me to live, and you know, and they're hypocrites. Man, they smacked me with that 2x4 when they were trying to help me out. Like you know, you get all of these things going in your head. Hopefully, if I'm pursuing God, I'm a person of the kingdom, you're pursuing God, you're a person of the kingdom, when you bring something to me in love, in the right way, hopefully I will respond in kind. So how do I want somebody to treat me? He says, do to others what you would have them do to you. What do I want people to do to me? In those situations, what I want is I want to be corrected. I don't want to be corrected, but I do. I want to be corrected by somebody who has a pure heart. I want to be corrected by somebody who has pure motives, that is trying to help me become the best version of myself. I want to be corrected by somebody who's doing it gently, who's doing it in love, who's doing it with a compassion and a concern for me, who's thinking about what's best for me. As a church, we are called to be people full of both grace and truth. Grace and truth. Not people who condemn, not people who ignore problems, but people who restore. If I could have the worship team go ahead and come on up. What this means is that as a church, we're going to be people who tell the truth. We have to be. We're not going to become any better as individuals or as a congregation if we shy away from telling the truth. But also, we're going to be a people who protect somebody's dignity. I'm not going to sit here and wave my finger in your face or belittle you in order to make my point. I'm not going to assert myself in order to make my point. I'm going to protect your dignity. I'm going to correct you from a posture of humility. Having already gone through and processed this in myself, if I see something in you that needs to be corrected, I'm going to make sure that I am living a correct life first. And above all, we're going to be a people who remember that God had grace for us. That God loved us. Jesus had every right to condemn us. He had every right to walk away. Had every right to leave us to our own devices. And instead of offering judgment, he offered himself. And if I'm going to do for others what I want them to do for me, that's what I want. I want somebody who's not just going to correct me and then walk away. I want somebody who's going to lean in and be there with me and continue to walk with me, continue to support me, continue to provide accountability as needed, continue to help me through that process. And this is what it means to be a person of the kingdom. Last week, we talked about how worry is kind of like a check engine light. And it shows us where our heart is focused. This week, our check engine light is pride and judgmental attitudes. If you start to feel holier than thou, it's a good sign that you need to check your attitudes and see if there's a plank in your own eyes. Because it's hard to recognize. It's a lot easier to see the speck in somebody else than to see what I'm going through. Probably because, you know, half my vision is covered up, so I can't see it very well. And so what happens, again, is that as I'm around other people, I myself start to become better as I lean into this principle and as I trust Jesus to help me. Jesus says if we want to live the blessed life, we've got to be willing to get rid of the things that are holding us back. And so as we go to God in prayer today, I just want us to open up our hearts to him and just allow God to show us, allow God to speak to us today, allow God to minister to our hearts. And maybe it starts with thinking about some of the things over the past week that have irritated you, that have bothered you, that just really got under your skin and you're not sure why. Or maybe it's you were out in your front yard, you were mowing your lawn, you looked over and you saw the neighbor's grass was greener, right? Maybe literally, maybe metaphorically. But you looked over and you saw, I just wish I could be like that. I wish I could be that person. Well, I'm sure they don't have it all together. They probably got some skeletons hiding in their closet. And your mind started to spiral. And you started to think these thoughts. And you started to have a hard time processing. Maybe you were at school. And that same group of people that is always giving you a hard time came up to you. You're like, oh, here we go again. God is asking us to check our hearts today. So we're gonna allow the worship team to sing this chorus. And as we do that, we're gonna just ask God, what is it inside of me? God, what are the things, what are the attitudes, what are the situations, where I need you to step in. So worship team, if you would just lead us in a chorus, and let's all just go to God in prayer right now. Just bow your heads. Just ask God, God, what is it inside of me? Where are the planks in my eyes that you need to take care of today?
In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me, it must break in the mighty Christ. I will not fear, I will not fear. There's an army of angels here. I'm protected on all sides by the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not fear, I will not fear. When the enemy comes near, on the doorframe of my life, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not fear, I will not fear. There's an army of angels here. I'm protected on all sides by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray, calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim. Every weapon formed against me, it must break in the mighty name of Jesus.
So hopefully you've taken a moment now to allow God to speak to you. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet. And Father God, we just ask, Lord, right now, God, we give these things over to you, God, these attitudes, these heart issues, God, that we're dealing with, God, the judgments, God, that we make so often, God, we give those things over to you, Lord. God, we thank you for exposing things in our life, God, and we ask that you would help us to in your grace and in your mercy to be able to deal with these things. God, we know that none of us are perfect. We know that all of us still have things that are going on in our life. And God, I pray that we would be the kind of people who would be able to lovingly help each other along in this process. God, I pray that nobody would walk this alone, but we would all band together with other believers, God, trusting that in you we are made whole. And because of you, God, you are setting all things right. And so, God, we just thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you, Father God. I just want to encourage you guys as we wrap up today that some of you guys in here, you're carrying a weight, you're carrying a burden. There's something inside of you that is even as we've been talking, you've been replaying conversations, you've been thinking about moments in your head, and you're like, man, I feel so bad, I feel so guilty. I've been doing this for years, and I'm not getting any better. And I want you to know that God is offering today, correction, not condemnation. The goal is to say this is wrong, but you can go higher in God. You can shed this weight. You can leave this thing behind, and you can reach a new potential in God. Condemnation would tell you that you're hopeless. Condemnation would tell you that you've tried and failed. Condemnation says, this is just the way that I am, and there's no way that I can change it. So don't allow the enemy to lie to you in this moment. Don't allow the enemy to come against you, but instead recognize that the Spirit of God is here to lift you up today. The Spirit of God is here to minister to you today. And so I think that for some of you in here, God has been speaking to you about your heart, about your habits, about your relationships, about your pride, about your distance from Him. And instead of resisting His voice today, I want to encourage you to surrender yourself to Him. This might be the 500th time that you've done it. I don't care. Surrender yourself to Him again today. Because the correction of God is proof that God loves us. In Hebrews it says, God disciplines those that He loves. That when He walks alongside of you and He points things out, or when even when trusted brothers and sisters come and they say something to you, it's because God loves you. And because God loves you, He sends other believers into your life to offer correction and to offer hope. So don't run from His correction today. Instead, run to the grace of God. Because He loves you where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. So Father God, as we close today, Lord, I just ask that God, You would help us to continue to become a people who are willing to say the hard things, but who say the hard things in the hardest way possible, with humility, with love, with grace, with tenderness, with restoration on our hearts. And God, I pray for those of us who are carrying around planks. God, help us to finally and completely lay them down. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer today, I'm going to be down at the front. I would love to connect with you, love to pray with you. If you want to just stay and worship, the worship team is going to hang out up here for a couple minutes. If you need to go, I want to just offer a blessing for you. I know that, I want to bless you as you go today. I just want to encourage you, though, don't leave until you've gotten everything from God that you needed to get today. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
I will not.